Our final reading this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, and I will be reading verses 1 through 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God and believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may also be. And you know the way to the place where I am going. But Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going. So how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And if you know me, you will know my Father also. And from now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. And Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. And in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask for anything, I will do it. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Saying goodbye has to be one of the hardest things to do in the world. And maybe I should preface that by saying, I'm not getting ready to tell you I'm leaving. I once preached a sermon in my last church that was talking about saying goodbye, and somebody came up to me afterward and said, I was waiting for you to tell us you were leaving the whole time. So I'll just get that out of the way from the very beginning. Not leaving. You're stuck with me for a while. But it's true that saying goodbye is one of the hardest things in the world to do. And to make it a particularly memorable goodbye, that's almost an art form. And if anyone has mastered that art, in my humble opinion, it's the writers of America's favorite television series. Right? I mean, nobody remembers the pilot episode or half the episodes from the first season, but everybody remembers the finale. Like the ending of Newhart. A lot of you probably remember that. At the end of that series, he wakes up as though it has all been a dream that actually has happened from, what was his name, Dr. Bob Hartley, who was the character in the Bob Newhart show. Right? He wakes up at the end and he looks at his wife and he says, this whole thing was just a dream. People still remember the ending of that TV show. And they like to use that ending with a little twist at the end of a series to say goodbye. So how many of you remember the series finale of MASH? Uh-huh. That's something that will stick with you over the years. It is still the most watched non-sports broadcast of all time. 125 million people tuned in to watch the end of that show. I was reading an article this week by Rolling Stone, the entertainment magazine, that talks about The Sopranos season finale. They consider it to be one of the best of all time. Do I dare ask if anybody watched the season finale of Sopranos? So let me fill you in. So it's very dramatic in the last moments of the episode, with the main character is hovering between life and death, And the viewers are all on their edges of their seats waiting to see what happened. And suddenly the screen goes blank. And you don't know what happens. A lot of people were quite panicked at the end of that, thinking they missed the end of the show, but that was the intent of the writers, was to leave them hanging. It was a very memorable finale. So I'm telling you, if anybody knows how to say goodbye in a very memorable way, it's writers of television series. So it got me to thinking. So if I was going to turn Jesus' life into a television series, in my world, it would end with a three-part finale. Part one would be the death. Part two would be the resurrection. And part three would be the ascension. And so this passage from the Gospel of John, here in chapter 14, that's kind of like the beginning of part one of Jesus' finale. So biblical scholars call John chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17, they call it the farewell discourse. And this is when Jesus begins to give a long and loving goodbye to his unsuspecting disciples. And his sole purpose in these chapters, in this farewell discourse, his sole purpose is to give them instructions. Instructions for how to live, how to keep on going without him. How to keep the faith even when he won't be there physically with them. His last words to them are an encouragement to keep on with it. Don't stop believing, as was playing in the end of the Sopranos episode. He knows that though it might seem like the end for them, it really isn't. That there's this divine spin-off series that's being developed for them, something you might call the early church, something that might debut, say, on Pentecost Sunday. So in his last moments on earth with the disciples, as he tries to recap all that he has shown them and all that he has taught them in the last 3 years, what exactly is it that he wants them to remember? First, he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." That's a pretty good place to start. Maybe he said it first because he knew that would be the thing that we would struggle with the most. It is beautiful that he sets this final scene with these words of reassurance that come first. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Then he says, "Believe in God, believe also in me." So for these faithful Jews, believing in God is not a difficult thing. They've done it their entire lives. But believing in Jesus the way they believe in God, that's a twist. They're still trying to wrap their heads around. And it's a theme that is woven throughout the rest of this long goodbye, talking about this intimate relationship between the Father and the Son. Next, in verses 2, 3, and 4, he says, "I'm going to prepare a place for you." The promise of eternal life is fundamental to John's gospel. Though death may separate Jesus from his followers, the bonds of love between them cannot be broken by that. And so we see in all these resurrection appearances Jesus makes in part two of his season finale, series finale, he's offering forgiveness and restoration to his wayward disciples, especially our friend Peter. So though he is going away, do not let your hearts be troubled, because where I am going, I am preparing a place for you. And when they wonder, how do we get there? He says, "I am the way and the truth and the life." And I learned this week as I was studying for the sermon that Christians weren't actually really called Christians until the end of the first century AD. And even then, that name was kind of used as a pejorative or a derogatory name. It didn't carry the meaning that it does today. In the beginning, just in those first days after Jesus' death and resurrection, people who believed in Jesus were known as followers of the way. Which is pretty beautiful. Now, the daring thing is that Jesus is calling himself the way. And up until this point, the Torah was the way. That was the guide for how people might experience the fullness of God. So here's Jesus comparing himself to the Torah. Pretty daring. And it's not a surprise that he gets himself into so much trouble with the religious leaders of the day, because that is blasphemy to their ears. So do not let your hearts be troubled. I am going away, but I am preparing a place for you. And if you want to know how to get there, just follow me, because I am the way, Jesus says to his disciples. And then he ends with this curious little remark about prayer. He says, if you ask for anything in my name, I will do it. And you could take this terribly out of context, and you could think, oh, I've discovered the magical formula for prayer. So all I have to do is tell God exactly what I want, and then say, in Jesus' name, amen, and bang, he'll give it to you. But friends, God is not a fairy godmother, nor is he a vending machine where you just get to put your money in and punch some buttons and out comes whatever you want. Rather, those who believe in Jesus, those who are followers of the way, we will train ourselves to want the same things he wants. Followers of the way, believers in Jesus, they will work to align their will with that of God, so that what we want is what God wants. So our prayer will be the prayer of Jesus himself. So don't let your hearts be troubled. I'm going away, but I'm preparing a place for you. And if you don't know how to get there, just follow me, because I'm the way. And by the way, remember to pray in my name for what I want. So this is part one of Jesus' series finale in this farewell discourse. This is what he says to his disciples in these last moments, these words that are poignant and memorable, and things that we have to struggle with. And it's filled with words of reassurance and encouragement of how we are to be his hands and his feet and his eyes full of compassion for the world once he is gone. And when we come to the Lord's table, we are reminded that Jesus wasn't just one of those do as I say, not as I do kind of teachers. But he actually lived out those instructions that he passed along to the disciples and to us. Though his own death is looming before him, his heart is not troubled. For his union with the Father is deep and abiding, and his faith is steadfast. Though his death will separate him from his followers, he knows that it's not the end of the story. That through his death and resurrection, God will offer a place in paradise with him to all of his followers. And Jesus is confident in this and in his prayer, because he knows that what's about to happen will glorify the Father through the Son. So as we come to the Lord's table, we see that Jesus lived out his instructions, and we begin to understand the assurance of a love made real in his sacrifice on our behalf. We receive the assurance of eternal life and the knowledge that Jesus is preparing a place for us. For us. With Him. When we come to the Lord's table, we pray for God's blessing upon the meal, and that through it, we would pray for thy will, not my will, thy will, to be done on earth as it is in heaven. So in this sacrament of communion, we see Jesus' final instructions and his long and loving goodbye. We see it lived out and made tangible in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup. Sometimes writers of television series completely miss the mark on how to end a series and a beloved show. But other times, they get it just right. And friends, this is the perfect finale of Jesus' life. This is the perfect finale for us. These words and this meal. Because when we participate in it, we remember the story. And we remember his instructions given to the disciples, but given to all of us. And we give thanks to the one who is the way to eternal life. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.